to order for Tuesday, March 10th, and we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We could have a roll call, please.
Coke?
Here.
Transier?
Here.
Milshewski?
Here.
Plocher?
Here.
Funkhauser?
Here.
Frieders?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Here.
Peterson? Absent. We have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Are there any amendments to the agenda? We have none. Before we get into the presentation, we have one announcement. Is this going to be Mr. Frieders or Mr. Evans? Anyone talk about St. Patrick's Day this week?
While you guys are here,
we got to promote. We have to promote too.
Marketing. Grab some green and show your Irish pride as you celebrate St. Patrick's Day in downtown Yorkville this Saturday, March 14th. This family-friendly celebration will keep the entire family entertained with a 5K run at 9 a.m. at South Bank and an Irish parade at 11 a.m. at Riverfront Park. Live Irish music and food specials will be at the downtown Yorkville businesses to continue the celebration throughout the day.
Excellent. You look like a little leprechaun.
Thank you, sir. It's my third year. I'm very proud.
Excellent. Okay. Well, that was a good announcement. But the next thing we have is even just more awesome.
Good.
So we have a recognition for life-saving efforts for Officer Kyle Borowski, Yorkville PD, and Deputy Larson of the Sheriff's Office. And who's going to give this? Jim, are you going to talk about this? Sheriff, are you coming up too?
The team members. I'll start. Okay. Thank you, Mayor Purcell. So tonight we're going to invite up some people that were involved in life-saving efforts recently, and anything we do in the capacity of life-saving is generally a team effort. You'll see that when you see the group of people standing up here. So I'd like to invite Officer Kyle Borowski up here, along with Chief Jensen, Deputy Jason Larson of the Kendall County Sheriff's Department, and then Sheriff Dwight Barrett and Under-Sheriff Bobby Richardson would please come up to him. From Kendall County Public Safety Dispatch, Dispatcher Lindsay Ingram from the call, you can come up. And from Bristol Kendall Fire Department, we have Lieutenant Nate King, Firefighter Paramedic Jen Lynn, Firefighter Paramedic Chris Chastin, Firefighter Paramedic Randy Roberts, who cannot be here tonight, and Firefighter Alex Dunn, if you could come up along with Bristol Kendall Fire Chief Jim Baker. And last but not least, I'd like to invite Mr. Joe Martinez, who thankfully is here with us tonight thanks to the efforts of these individuals up here.
Kendall County law enforcement in general is extremely unique when you compare
town, the relationship that we have with the sheriff's office, the relationships we have with other agencies, county agencies, other city agencies within this city, is really what makes this organization such a fantastic organization, a great place to work, and a wonderful police department. So, Kyle Borowski and Deputy Larson, they responded to a call for service. They weren't actually called to the call. They responded based on what the initial call, the ambulance call, was all about. So they responded to the call for service and obviously did what they were trained to do. They attached the AED, which ended up shocking Joe. They also did CPR. And then when the medics arrived, they assisted the medics in any way that they could to help make sure that Joe was taken care of and doing well. So it was funny when I called Joe, I called actually Joe's wife to see how he was doing. They were in the car on the way home from the hospital. So that's that was just awesome. That was one of the best times I've had here at Yorkville talking to you. So I want to thank you guys for your work. Thank you guys for your work and everything you did. And that's what makes Yorkville great. So thank you.
Thank you.
Excellent. Well, that is awesome.
Thank you.
We love when we have an opportunity to do that. It really is awesome. Okay. We have no public hearings. We do have a presentation later. Are there any citizen comments on agenda items? Please step forward and state your name.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. I'm Mike Reynolds. I'm the program manager of Fox Valley Television, which is the public access television arm of the Southwest Fox Valley Cables and Telecommunications Consortium. That's a mouthful. But tonight, on your mayor's agenda, you have a resolution asking you to consider leaving that consortium. And I could get to the point to say I don't think that's a great idea, but I'm going to be able to expect. But I just wanted to let you know that the consortium has been a part of this community, and I was very proud to see what I saw here tonight. What a wonderful thing. Even though I've lived in that little town to the west of Plano, I've been a part of your community since 2003. I'm very proud of everything I've seen here and every interaction I've had with your community. And that's through what I do, providing public access television to your community. The Southwest Cable Consortium was formed by Yorkville and four other communities back in 2002, and I was hired in 2003 to do the television part of it. I hope that you've been a proud member of that. I know we've been very happy to serve you, but I feel there's a little bit of a disconnect at this point with this resolution. I don't feel it's something you need to rush into. I mean, you'll be told that should you not, that you might get entangled in yet another year. But let me say to you, this morning is no different than last week or a month ago or a year ago. As far as your participation and your contribution to that consortium, this is coming about as a result of North Aurora deciding to leave the consortium, which they've done for their own reasons. I hope that you would decide instead to participate in the consortium and be a part of perhaps how we might restructure, how we can better serve you. There is no commitment for a year. If you're there to participate and you decide that this doesn't work, there's a process by which you can dissolve the consortium. I wouldn't be happy to see that personally, but I would feel much better that you were a part of that decision and that you understood what we've been doing. And I say that simply because I feel like you've just been trusting us for a number of years. We actually had our last representative from Yorkville on that cable board in August of 2014. And that's a long time without that connection. So we've continued to serve you, both through doing things like your franchise negotiations. Mr. Olson pointed out that the Metronet franchise was negotiated by the city, and that's great, but much of that is a result of the work that we did with Comcast, because it can be either no more beneficial nor encumbering the franchise that follows, which is what Metronet was. So a lot of that might be cut and paste. But just so you know, maybe as a reminder for those of you that have been around for a while, part of what we did is we provided an opportunity for a pass-through that would take the burden of capital costs of the consortium off of your plate and put it on the cable consumers. A small amount. I know my cable bill's a couple hundred of dollars, and we have a maximum of 53 cents if we were to do a pass-through, and I don't even think I noticed that on my bill. But that would pay for the capital equipment. That would no longer be a part of your contribution. We also had the first path to and distinctive language that would make us the first high-definition public access operation in Illinois. And that's a big deal. That's not something the cable company was wanting to do willingly, but that's part of what we were able to negotiate with you. That's just on the consortium side, the public access side. Hopefully you've seen us at your events, you see us at the meetings, would encourage you to take a step back, slow down, and participate. There's no rush. And by participating, you can define your path, define the way that you might want to leave this, rather than just having a knee-jerk reaction to another community. We can carry on, but we need your help to do so. So I hope that you would please consider not approving this resolution and maybe getting a representative on the board so that we can all work together to build a better future for all of us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there other citizen comments on agenda items? Thank you. Just state your name for the record, please.
My name is Fred Lake. Mr. Mayor, council members, and the good people of Yorkville, thank you for letting me speak here this evening. I'm here to support and give insight into why Fox Valley Television is valuable. When I was first attending Waubonsie Community College, I found they had a mass curriculum, mass communication curriculum. This curriculum is closely intertwined with FVTV, and I had the opportunity to be an intern with FVTV. Following my internship, I became a member of FVTV as well. I have had the opportunity to put together the weekly program that aired played on air. I have had the chance to create a student-made TV pilot filmed here in Yorkville. I also was part of the team that recorded City Hall meetings, such as this one right here, and I have filled in for Yorkville before in the past. It was a paid position, and it was a much-needed help to my financial situation while I was a full-time student and a part-time worker working full-time hours. I have created lifetime friendships because of my time with FVTV. Fox Valley Television is where I gained the experience and the skills needed to start my career. I am now working as the lead videographer for my company. I have had a great opportunity to travel around the world with this job. I was just in Aspen, Colorado, recording the green screen news segment, and I was able to edit that green screen footage because of my time with Fox Valley Television. I was able to light a two-person interview with Vienna because of FETV. Because of Fox Valley Television, I have real-world skills that I use every day and I will never forget. One other great value of FETV is its promotion of community. After meeting my current boss and interviewing for a freelance position at their next show, he exclaimed, "I saw you on TV." My boss and his wife had come across an episode of On Track that I hosted and was broadcast on Fox Valley Television. In conclusion, Fox Valley Television has great value because of its promotion of community, its ability to teach future workers in the real world field of communication and media, and its ability to mentor those workers as they go through their careers. According to the tagline of Fox Valley Television, it truly is what you make of it. Thank you so much for your time and your attention.
Thank you. Are there any other individuals who would like to speak on agenda items? Seeing none, no consent agenda. Could I get a motion to approve the minutes of the regular city council meeting from February 25th, 2020? Transier?
Second.
Second by Cope. Changes? Corrections? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Yeah, still passed. Okay, next we have bill payments. For approval from the current list, could I get a motion to approve bills for $371,925.05 for vendors, $309,610.26 for payroll ending 2/21/20 for a total of $681,535.31.
Second.
Milchewski and Peters. Yeah. Very nice. Any discussion? Nothing? Roll call, please.
Milchewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Clocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Next item, under mayor's report. Regarding the resolution, I'd like to have some discussion. Actually, Bart and I spoke earlier today, but there's some more information we are waiting on. But I would like to have a discussion so everyone can understand why we brought this forward. So Mark, if you have anything you want to start with, just tell the group the background of what we talked about.
Yeah, the North Aurora materials are in the packet. Since the packet was published on Thursday, we did receive North Aurora's formal notice in the mail, so I didn't get a chance to copy it before the meeting. But it reiterates a lot of the things that are talked about in the packet information. The mayor and I had a chance to speak with our counterparts in North Aurora the past week or so, and they've been discussing withdrawal from the consortium for a few months. And it was a combination of they just didn't see the value in it, the money can be used for anything, because that's always a tough discussion when we're trying to fund roads and other things. There was a little bit of uncertainty, I think, just with our lack of participation in the consortium. What the dues structure and then the refunds from the consortium are going to be long-term. When we were notified that North Aurora had actually officially, passed their resolution, we wanted to get it on the next city council agenda, if for nothing else, to give you the opportunity to have the discussion, because per the bylaws of the organization, we have 90 days to decide whether to continue with the consortium. And out of the remaining three members in the consortium, actually there's four members, Wabatsi is the fourth member, although they don't contribute financially. But the three participating financial contributors to the organization were the largest. We want to throw that out there. Especially
Yorkville, Plainland, Sandwich, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
What is it, Yorkville, Sandwich,
Plainland?
Yes.
So our contribution is a Rob, what's it, approximately $100,000, and then we get about $35,000 back, roughly?
Roughly.
Annually, so the net contribution is about $65,000 a year. So, questions, comments? Please, you can go.
So, this was a topic that we discussed like right after I got elected, like 2014. And I remember Carlo and I went down to the Wabatsi Studios and basically saw everything they had down there. And then learned more and more about not only what their program was offering their students, but kind of what Yorkville got in response to this type of investment. And I don't remember there being like an actual like committee, so that was just kind of over my head. But at the time, it was Diane, Alderman Teeling, was our representative on that committee. Now, I don't know whether it was because the meetings held in Sugar Grove?
Yes.
Okay. Whether transportation was an issue or whatnot. But I do feel like if we were to leave without having a seat at the table for 6 years, that's a little knee-jerky. But I remember I went through some of the things that I wrote about this back in 2014 after I learned from Mike about the stuff that they offered. And growing up in Aurora, who has never had a city council meeting broadcast until recently, and even then it's like Facebook Live type stuff, we get an award every year for transparency. I think part of that is because even though nobody watches our YouTube channel, because obviously it's not the most exciting stuff, if at any time someone has a question about a discussion or wants to know how heightened an argument might have been, I mean, let's admit, the last few, I'll just give this out there if you guys want to go YouTube searching, the last few months of Mayor Purcell's term have been rather fun to listen to the banter between him and Alderman Funkhauser. And I see those things as potentially winning awards at some point. But the reason why this is important, number one is, I don't think anybody here wants to operate a camera, nor do I trust myself, because my fingers are in most of my pictures. But also understanding that they provide a service that we don't have to worry about, that we win awards for. Now, whether it's worth $65,000, I don't know. But if we had to spec out a camera, an operating computer, servers to host all the stuff here, and then to not only upload to YouTube, but then try to do something with it when none of us have any skills, let's be real. We're going to be doing investigations and basically investing in skills that we don't currently have, or finding someone who wants to come work for us. And if we don't have a budget to hire a full-time PR person, maybe we should consider that as more of a, maybe we can throw stuff to them and get more of our stuff on their Facebook page, as opposed to how do we hire more people. So this is the whole work smarter, not harder thing. But from my perspective, every Tuesday, or every second to fourth Tuesday, they are here. They provide a service by putting our meetings, as dry as they are, not only on the television occasionally, but on YouTube into perpetuity. We have a database of every conversation, as exciting as this all is, into perpetuity on the internet. Which from my perspective, if we're talking about transparency, that is of the utmost importance. Now, the things that I think about now compared to 2014 is I got rid of cable like 3 years ago, and I love it. I just got rid of Comcast for internet, and I love that even more. Now I have Metronet, so I'm just paying for internet, little Disney Plus, I'm a Star Wars guy, and then Netflix, and then I think I do YouTube TV because I like Fox News in the morning, Channel 32 Chicago. Let's put that down there. So I don't really understand where all of that carryover funding is coming from if all of my neighbors are getting rid of cable to begin with, and that's something we can explore as we discuss this. But I keep going back to, if we don't do it now, and all we're trying to do is save 60 grand, and yes, that can fix 20,000 potholes in Whispering Meadows last year, or the year before when we had potholes. But what we're now lacking is the transparency, and I keep on pointing to this date thing right here, because as stupid as that looks, somebody prints it out and puts it up there. If you watch one of our meetings on YouTube, you know what date we talked about it and how exciting that was. And I would think that that $65,000 would not be reinvested in the fact that we need to have a way to hold ourselves accountable, which is, yes, we've got audio on this little recording thing, and I'm sorry that my voice is the loudest one, but it's another way of making sure that into perpetuity, we have a way of following up on who said what, when, and why. And also, I know that the audio equipment in that closet is older than I am, probably. I also know that we're sitting in front of kitchen desks, or kitchen cabinets. If we are going to invest in this room and the equipment in it, I know that the kitchen cabinets are going to have to be thrown away. But what do we actually gain? I actually think with some of the city councils that I've been to over the last 3 years accepting proclamations on behalf of the city of Yorkville for the National Suicide Prevention and Action Month proclamation, we are in a trailer compared to some of these palatial estates. So if anybody has, oh, they're using my tax dollars, dude, I sit in front of a kitchen cabinet, and I have for the last 7 years. So we're not investing in these, you know, beautiful marble and ornate things. And I'm not picking on Plano's because ours is a little bit nicer than yours. But we are investing in the fact that we are transparent. We have lengthy conversations about very, very interesting and riveting topics. And we have proof of that that go back into perpetuity. So I would rather see the money that we spend on this will make that money work smarter, not necessarily harder, and start over. So yes, that means getting a member on your board. That means maybe having the meeting here every 4 or 5 months. That means maybe we have some video footage of our committee meetings. That means rather than just us putting our stuff on our Facebook page, in addition, you tag the consortium and have them start working for us doing the same promotions that we're doing right now with our AACVB stuff. So rather than kicking it out there, I kind of like the fact that they're here more often than I am. Because if I miss a meeting, I know what you guys are wearing. It's very, very important information what you're wearing, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
So out of all of that stuff, I don't think we need the added responsibility, but I do think we need to have a seat at that table and be there consistently, but then also have the meetings here so I don't have to rapture growth. Thank you.
Thank you. Other comments? Mr. Funkhauser. I'll see you next.
I'm glad you spoke up, actually.
Thank you.
I see a lot of value in the educational end of it. As being a Union Pipe further, I had to go through an apprenticeship, and I am where I am today because of that education. So thank you for talking. It actually probably saved my life.
Thank you. Mr. Funkhauser.
Yeah. If I remember back in 2013, I filled in on the board for a little bit for Roy Spears, but she was not capable of attending some of those meetings. I know it was very critical at the time because there were some things that needed to be brought up to speed, up to date from just time. They took care of it. They dealt with them. They became more of a kind of business-style organization, and they dealt with some of those issues. And I toured their facility. I've been up there several times. I've been at quite a few events where they are out there reporting, you know, and then they're going back, they're editing, they're broadcasting what those are. It is very valuable. We talk about the videoing here. That's what we see. That's what we see every single, you know, every 2 weeks. But what we don't see, unless you're watching the public access or going online, is you're not seeing what they're actually putting together, what they're doing for service for the community. That's a huge value that not only our community, but our members get as well. I mean, if you've seen the studio up at Wabanzi, I mean, it's a very nice studio. And then if you see the bathroom where they can get it, it's not as nice looking because it's all very technical. But it's very, it's amazing what they can do with that technology. I'm not prepared to do anything quite yet because I would like to see options for us. If we're going to do something, I want to see options. How are we going to do this? Are we going to record? Are we going to have cameras mounted? Are we going to hire somebody internally to record it? I know there are programs we could go into Granite this, we could spend $60,000, $80,000, $200,000 on a system to do our meetings for us. But then that staff time, how much staff time are we prepared to put into it? You know, we've had this discussion time after time on that. But there's a lot to it. I know we have the public access channel that's, you know, for people with cable, if you watch that, there's some good information there. It's nice to know that it's there. Not everybody can make it here, not everybody can see it, but we also have a website. I just think that we need to consider the impact of this. We're part of a consortium. We have three other partners. If we leave, how do we affect them? I mean, they're part of our community as well. We're part of Kendall County. These communities are all part of that. I don't want to impact them negatively without us doing our due diligence on how it's going to affect us and them. So I want to take some time to think about this and look at our options thoroughly before we do it.
Other comments? Mr. Koch?
Yeah, I kind of think we're rushing a little bit too, and maybe we should take some more time and discuss. The other thing that I have a question of is, okay, so North Aurora's leaving. What does that mean with the amount that would be that going to go up now? Did they have a charge? Well, that'll be
that's a good question.
To be determined based on the rating of the members of the consortium. So they either pick somebody up if they take that spot, or theoretically if we maintain the same budget as is, then yeah, there could be a shortfall at some point or another. So yeah, we can decide to downgrade services, we can decide to increase our contribution, all that is possible. I just, I know that we haven't sent anybody to the meetings in 6 years. So.
That'd be
useful to have.
Sure.
Mr. Funk,
do we have a current appointment to this organization?
I don't remember. Not something.
I think it's
I don't think so.
It's still dying.
Mayoral appointment, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Nobody's stepped up to the people that have been appointed and been able to attend. Yeah. It's, and this
okay.
Is
no, I don't
know if we get or not. As I said, the last one I recall was the predecessor to Jason. That was Alex.
So that's possible.
I was kind of hard to criticize. Not having someone attend the meetings if we haven't appointed someone, or if the person has left and spent vacated. So,
I don't take it as criticism, I just take it as fact. Other comments? No, we're not going to. Well, no, we're not looking to vote on that. I said that. No, this is just discussion. Bart and I talked about earlier today, there's some other information we're waiting on that, you know, it may go one way or the other, but we're just not ready to vote on. But I figured. It's obviously a topic of interest. Let's have some discussion ahead of time.
One other thing. So is this like pertaining to the next year's budget?
Their budget, I believe, is July 1st. And Bart, correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is we need to give notice 3 months in advance.
Correct. And we didn't put funding for the entire year in the fiscal year 21 budget. We might have left, and then we took it out of fiscal year 22, but that wasn't necessarily tied to, you know, anything specific. It was just
so there's really a couple reasons why this is on here. One is North Aurora obviously is withdrawn, and we knew that was coming when we got the letter. The second is the fiscal year starts July 1st. If we wanted to get out this year, and if you don't, that's fine, but if we wanted to, figured I hate to wait till May and say, well, shoot, we didn't give the advance notice properly. So that's part of the reason it's up now. Yes, Mr. Funkhouse.
Is the 90 days predicated by the fiscal year, or is it just 90 days notice?
The way I understand it is that the bylaws state that in order to like stop contributions at the end of the fiscal year, you have to give 90 days notice. So if we, theoretically, if we give notice in mid-April, then
we're still
supposed to be legally obligated. But yeah, the four entities are Waubonsie, Yorkville, us, you know, Sandwich, and Plano. You know, I don't know if any of those entities litigate the intergovernmental agreement.
Because we negotiate that. Right.
Correct.
Yeah, with North Aurora pulling out, this may take its own direction without us deciding one way or the other. And I haven't had a discussion with anyone about it. I'm just saying, when you lose another entity like that, it may take a life of its own. So, other discussions? Or discussion points, questions? Mr. Pulcher?
I think we should look for why we're discussing it, an appointment to the board.
We'll do that.
Not it, by the way.
But not yet.
Okay. 1, 2, 3.
Okay. There was a meeting this Thursday. It was it 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock? I'm like
5:30.
Five thirty. Thank you. So So this is Thursday at 5:30. I had to travel on an appointment, by the way. Anything else? Okay, again, this will be on the next agenda, but I thought, let's have the discussion. Why push it without having discussion? So thank you all for your input. I appreciate it. Okay, next, Public Works Committee. Mr. Pulcher?
No report.
Okay, excellent. EDC Committee. I see some items there. Oh, okay, an item, singular.
I'd like to make a motion to authorize staff to apply to the AARP Community Challenge 2020 Grant Program.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second, who was it over here? Freeders, okay. Who wants to discuss this? Christy? Thank you.
At EDC, we discussed the city applying for this grant. There's no match required for the grant. It's open to any community organization or individual organization or municipality that wants to improve livable area for seniors or anyone. Their theme is livable streets. So we are proposing a $10,000 grant. That's what we're asking for, but we have a budget for, and that seems to be the maximum amount that they would in the last several years of this grant have been offering. On your dais, there is a kind of layout of where we're proposing to do for the grant. If you notice, there's an area that says $2,500 tactical planning level. That's already budgeted for this year, and we plan to have installed by the spring and summer. And it'll be a couple of head-around chairs, some cantilever umbrellas that are lighted, as well as a solar multicolored lighted tree uplights. We are going to reach out, we already have reached out to the preschool to see if they are interested in decorating a few of the chairs as well as the senior center. That goes part of the AARP grant, which is the other area along the river park where we would continue this line of improvements. We're also looking at doing a mural trash enclosure, so something we're a little bit more vibrant along the riverfront that's not a large expense. The grant will be one. We're hoping to hear back from them in June. We would have to have this completed by November. So if you have any questions, let me know.
Questions, comments? Jackie?
I just have a comment.
I'm sorry, Ms. Milshewski.
I think, you know, we all sit in our meetings and we have our wonderful meetings and of course, but we also have marvelous. This is marvelous. It's countless. And brought this to the attention of our staff. So
that's cool.
Yeah, isn't
that cool? I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Isn't that cool? So while she's sitting there quiet, she lives in Bristol. She doesn't live in York. Oh, so that could be your mother. She still thinks of us as her hometown. So thank her.
I did not know that. That's awesome.
It's awesome.
Other comments, but Mr. Funkhouse.
I have no issue going forward with the grant. There's no match, no risk to us. My only thought or question is the materials that we're looking at here, how durable are they going to be, the security of them, vandalism?
Right. So we talked with Parks and Rec. Their recommendation is to secure the chairs with an anchor and a cable system. So we're proposing to do that, as well as anchor the umbrellas into the concrete. In the off time, we are looking at places to store these because we know that in the winter time, we don't want them to get damaged. So we are exploring that as well.
Okay. And then the lighting, durability for those kind of things, that I know they're LEDs.
They're solar.
Something that's easily replaced.
It's solar. They're not really expensive. The uplights for trees, you can strap on, or you can on the tree itself, or you can put it on the ground. So we're going to do a test to see which location works best.
Any other questions, Mr. Funkhauser? Other questions, comments? Can we get a roll call, please?
Trulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Plocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Anything else, Ms. Milshewski?
Yes, all.
Public Safety Committee report?
Report.
Thank you. Administration Committee report. Oh, fun stuff, Mr. Funkhauser.
Okay. The motion to approve an ordinance amending the city code to let the official salary increase and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Is there a second?
Second.
By Milchewski. Discussion. Roll call.
Well, let's. I was swallowing a pamplemousse.
Okay.
Understand it.
Well, no, I really. That's why.
It's a very intense citrus flavor. So I remember, like, when I saw the article on WSBY, it said raising the elected official's salary. But then I saw the comparisons between the other communities. Let me just get to the page so that I can throw them under the bus. Hold on. I can't. It's the same. Sorry, I was going to try to talk trash to Plano. Knowing that the reason that most of us ran for office, I don't know about Joe here, but most of us ran for office was not to make $462 extra a month, but to not only get involved, but to see something happen. I got my roads down, and that's worth way more than $462 a month, because I was paying more than that car payments, which I've had to replace. But then also looking at all the other communities, some of these people are making good money. And I'm not one to turn away money, but I've never made it in a way that I felt was creepy or seedy or any of that stuff. Understanding that this isn't just a time commitment of being, you know, away from the family, which now that my kids are a little bit more grown up, isn't as big of a threat. And I don't have to make up for it as when I get home, because they're not too difficult to handle right now. But also, on that same note, preparing for meetings like this isn't a 20-minute, half-hour, 45-minute, hour type of responsibility. I kind of take my phone with my Adobe and my computer with my Adobe kind of with me everywhere, because I am kind of locked to, oh, four-letter word, I have to read 768 pages by Tuesday. And if I don't do that preparation, I'm just going to sit here and stare. Sometimes that's just how my attitude comes across, and I apologize for being flippant. But most of the time, it's because I have nothing to add, because I read the packet before committee, and then if I'm not on that committee, I'm not like Alderman Funkhauser, who attends every committee meeting he can, who he inherently knows all this stuff because it's interesting to him and he's passionate about it. So I don't want to go into this whole discussion, oh, well, we deserve something more. I do know that once we got rid of the entitlement of the elected official health insurance, I'm like, yeah, cool, everything else is a stipend. I don't personally participate in IMRF, which sucks because I could probably have like $15 in my retirement plan as now. But I do see the work that we do as being valuable. Whether you like me or not, doesn't really matter, because I won. And if you wanted to make $462 a month, you can run for office, because it's super fun. We found out about McDonald's getting renovated 6 hours before WSBY announced it. So there are perks like that. But looking through all of the communities that we have around us and seeing how boatloads of money the mayor makes compared to everyone else, I don't think of it as being, you know, out of line to have a discussion. I mean, how many years ago was it? 12?
14.
Excuse me, 14. So about as long as we haven't had someone at the consortium, we haven't been talking about a wage increase. So while I'm not too concerned about the actual numbers, I am glad that we're actually talking about it, so that it's something, again, on the record and saved on YouTube and our website into perpetuity, so you can see why we're talking about this now and how we came to this conclusion. So that's all I had to say.
Hey, that's short for you.
It is.
Thank you. Mr. Funkhauser.
All the way through your six good points here. This is not something that we take lightly in discussing this, and that's part of why this has not been discussed for 14 years. No one wants to get involved in this discussion. It's either political suicide, it's not looked at very pleasantly from the public because you're raising your salary. Well, we're not doing this until 2023. That's when it would take effect. So there's potential that anyone sitting here might not be here because of the election cycle. It's two election cycles now. So we're not doing this for us right now. We're doing this so that we look at what's been done. We don't receive the IMRF. We actually voted that out. We voted out the insurance. So, and I'm not using that as a justification for an increase, but you look at some of these places, they do have retirement benefits associated with what they do. We don't do that. So this is a small cost. We are increasing both the alderman and the mayors. I'm also going to look in the following meeting to look at the minute takers for an increase for them. They do a lot of work for us. But it's something that, is after some consideration, we thought that was necessary to actually bite the bullet, talk about it, and make an increase.
Other comments?
Transier.
Aye.
Flocher.
Aye.
Frieders.
Aye.
Koch.
Nay.
Milshewski.
Aye.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Chirulis.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Okay, Mr. Funkhaus, you have some other items.
All right.
One other item.
Public Works Business Analysis. Make a motion to authorize staff to issue a request for qualifications for the analysis of the Public Works and Parks Maintenance Facilities.
So move.
Second.
Okay, so did you actually make
it? I made it.
Oh, he made it. Oh, yeah, never mind. Oh.
So was Mr. Funkhauser and Mr. Frieders.
Too, Joe. Okay, this one's getting me gay.
Okay, Bart, you want to just give an overview on this, please?
Sure. There's a nice, somewhat lengthy photo package that just highlights. In general, there's three components to the space needs analysis that we asked for. One, do the space needs analysis and utilize as much of the previous material as we have available from our 2005 space needs analysis and our 2017 building analysis that we did. And then two, take that and give us like a site evaluation. So take a look at the existing public works site with the adjacent land that we purchased next to it, the existing parks department site with an adjacent acre that we had to sell that, and 8 acres of vacant land in the marketplace, and just say, you know, in general, for what we're looking for public works operations, both now and in the future, is this site okay, or is it going to cost us millions of dollars in infrastructure costs or some other item that we're not thinking of? And then three, give us a cost estimate for, you know, various buildings for public works and parks as a combination, or public works by itself. And then somewhere between, like, you know, a 10 or a 20-year plan, maybe something that's more immediate, something that we can build now that would be much better than what we have, but maybe doesn't serve us for 20 years in the future. And we've tried to propose language in there that says, if you think that there is a way to limit the cost of this money by either cutting out sections or trying something novel, we want to know that too when we submit proposals, that way we're keeping the cost of the study down, in addition to trying to figure out ways to value and engineer the building. So the last time this was talked about at City Council was back in January. We talked about three studies: public works, police, and then like an economic or asset study. We completed this and buttoned it up, I think, at noon on packet day on Thursday. So we threw it right in the packet to get everybody's feedback. The police one is still being drafted by us. It'll look substantially similar to this, but we've had verbal conversations through intermediaries with the sheriff about what they're looking for. We do anticipate that they will be looking for a full-blown space needs analysis for most of their operations. So it'll be two organizations, one study, put it together and figure out ways to save money by combining spaces. And then the asset one is a little bit more vague, so we're working on that one too. But it'll probably be similar to what we've got as the site evaluation component of this study. So it'll be focused on raw land, different decisions of what it's worth, how much it would cost to develop it, and that kind of thing. So that's where we're at and what we're thinking.
Questions, comments? Mr. Funkhauser?
Go ahead.
Oh, did you have one too?
No, him first. Him first.
I think y'all know kind of where I stand on this here. I mean, I know we talked about moving forward with this one. This has the potential to go straight into contract if we approve it right now. If it's under $25,000, correct?
Correct.
So it'll go through internal staff processing. I know that authority would be there if it's under $25,000, but I would actually like to see the proposal, kind of the results of the QBS and then the proposal before we go into that, in order to see what has been proposed. Are there any changes on the scope of that? And that way we can have that before it's actually authorized. We want to have more feedback input on that.
Are you done? That's my name. Are you done?
Actually, if it's on this topic, because I have a couple other questions.
Yeah, well, I'd like you to finish, please. Well, you've got the floor. I'd like you to finish.
I do. I was going to acquiesce to the my counterpart to the third one. But I So that's my thoughts, is to bring that back here for a discussion reveal of what they propose.
The response.
Yes. Yeah. So what staff has come up with is their proposed bidder, and then what their negotiated terms were with that one. I'd like to see that before we authorize. I have a question on this, and this is something that I throw out there. If we have one UPS list right now, so this is going to be a separate list. If there have been discussions with any other architects or engineers in the meantime between the two that are not on the other UPS list, does that give them potentially any benefit or light up on the process potentially?
I don't think so. I suppose that would matter on who you're asking, or, you know, who's answering. You know, if you run the QBS process like normal, you know, people have the chance to answer questions or ask questions as part of it, and then everybody gets a response from it. So, and nothing that we've talked about informally with anybody yet so far is really focused on this building. It's been more just about studies in general, the police probably more so than public works. So, yeah.
Okay. Because I wouldn't want to have an advantage of it. Because I know we have the bidders that were already engaged on the prior, and then there are others that have not, that did not bid on that, but may potentially be interested in this. So I just wanted to question that.
Well, it is open to everyone. So if you have people in mind, let them know about it. Because when will this go off? Assuming we vote on it.
Oh, it's voted on today. I think we bumped it up pretty soon. We're thinking next week. Yeah.
Okay. So once it goes out,
dates in there are assuming tonight's approval.
We'll send an email to everyone once it's out.
And then the 30-day posting
is what we've proposed. Yes.
I know. And then my last one was, we talked about the three different ones, and I know the others are trailing. But my thought was, I wanted to see them all together, to see the form of all three of them at the same time, and then move forward. And I know that's not happening because of the length of the extent of what it's taken to do public safety. I know that's taken a lot, but my preference would actually be to still see them all at the same time to compare and see what kind of scope we have within and see what they all have. That's my preference.
Thank you. Mr. Frieders?
Yeah, my only thing was tagging on to his first comment, which was, you know, we had talked about that master plan for a long, or master facilities plan for a long time. I think that understanding that, you know, you've got your threshold of 25,000 below and you can pull the trigger, I would humbly request that that would be our compromise, where we understand we're not going after this full-blown, you know, Disneyland projection thing, but this is important for the future of how we plan all of our facilities, and we know that we've got like a pecking order, boom, boom, boom. Well, before you pull the final trigger, I would humbly request that we talk about that, or at least allow us to see it before you go full bore and approve it. Just as a kind of a compromise versus what we had originally established under the previous administration and agreed to, which we didn't move fast enough to kind of do it before the change of administrations, versus what we're looking at right now, because we know that the decision's immediate, but I want to be able to have at least some, you know, input on what we're seeing versus what we're going to push play on.
I would second that too. I'd like to be able to have a say, just before we act and pull it.
Mr. Franzier, do you anticipate any of these contracts coming in under $25,000? It doesn't seem like it's going to be a realistic option.
I don't know if I expect it. I'm hoping.
Okay.
Yeah. I think we budgeted $30,000 for each of this, and the police one, and any money we save there, you know, is a benefit. So
it could be a moot point. We might be making a decision on it anyway if it comes over $25,000. But I agree with everyone else. Let's know what the costs and the details of the particular contracts are before you guys make a decision. I think everyone would appreciate that.
Other comments? So to respond to those concerns, or just questions, I don't know if they're concerns or not. I have the authority to do this without bringing the city council. As I said all along, I'm bringing the city council because I want to be transparent. We may not agree on the details of every, you know, path we take, but I'm bringing it forward because I want you all to be included in this part, you know, in this process. So I think those are valid concerns. I don't know what the number is going to be. I will bring it forward, but in the end, if it came in at $15,000, I might make a choice to do it even if you disagree with me. But I'm definitely going to bring it forward because I said I would, and that's part of this process. Even though I don't have to ask you for a vote on this, I am, because I think it's important that we're all involved. So I do appreciate the input. And yes, it will be transparent. So again, you may not like, you know, the recommendation, but it's still going to be transparent. So
cool.
Any other comments, questions?
Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
I want that hat. Roll call, please.
Clocher?
Yes.
Frieders?
Yes.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Chirulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Anything else, Mr. Funkhauser?
That is it.
You will be discussing the budget at your next meeting, correct?
That was the plan, yes.
Yeah. No, it's... Staff's been informed that you would like to discuss it, and it will be on the agenda, whether you want it on there or not. Okay, park board, do we have anything from the park board? Just remember, again, I want to reiterate, we got a great festival Saturday morning. Planning and zoning commission, there's nothing. City council report, anything? No? City clerk report?
No report.
Community liaison reports? Staff report? Oh, did you have something? I'm sorry, Joel. I'm sorry, Mr.
Let me get to the...
I try like heck to miss you, and I just can't always...
Sorry, too loud. Update, as of right now, I just got another email with the confirmation. We're at 45 cities, 2 counties, and 14 different states, representing roughly 1.8 million residents across the country. Thursday, I'm traveling to St. Louis to talk to Second Shift Brewing about proactive prevention, mental health, and suicide prevention. We've got a couple cool collaborations with beer companies coming up. We've got Hailstorm Pipeworks in Old Irving in March, and then we've got Crane Brewing. I'm going to Kansas City on March 28th. Speaking at the Illinois Craft Brewers Guild on April 14th, then traveling to San Antonio on the 19th, 20th, and 21st of April to speak to the National Craft Brewers Conference about Hope for the Day's proactive prevention and mental health education. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Sorry to rush it. Okay, where was I? Was that city council staff? Was that staff? Was there any staff reports? Or were there any staff reports?
No reports.
Okay. That's use proper form of the verb. Presentations. This is Mr. Olson and our fiscal year 2021 budget presentation. And he's going to give a nice slideshow. But if there are questions, please ask. And I'm hoping at the end you'll have some banter back and forth, or at least questions. Because this, again, we want to be open about this when we're thinking about it.
All right. Happy March 10th, 2020. This is our fiscal year 21. So our schedule is the exact same as last year. We've got one presentation scheduled. It is a little bit abbreviated, and I'll get into that here in a second. Public hearing 2 weeks from now. And we just have to make sure that we approve the fiscal year 21 budget by April 30th, 2020. So tonight's outline, we're going to hit the big picture, so that's going to match the budget memo. Do the year-by-year overview, also in the budget memo. We're only going to go over some of the items and notes, the most impactful ones. And then the small picture, we're going to do the general fund, somewhat in-depth, and then line items of interest and other funds. So what we're not covering, Foxhill SSA, Sunflower SSA, Debt Service Fund, Land Cash Fund, all those other funds in there, the TIP funds, Parks and Rec Operating Fund. There was a couple items to note in the memo, in there in good detail if you want to take a look at it, but we also figured that the committees could then review some of these. Because they're like with the Fox Hill SSA, there's a little bit of a discussion as to what we want to do long term meetings there. So we'll be covering some items to note sections also. So just as a reminder, it's a 5-year budget, but we only approved the fiscal year 21 budget, so that's next year's budget only. Everything else is the planning tool beyond that. So how do things look? So we got the blue line here down below, which is below is worse. That's last year's 5-year budget proposal, and the surplus deficit in the general fund, and this is this year's. So we've held surpluses in fiscal year 19. We expect to be in surplus in fiscal year 21, and we're proposing a break-even budget in 21, which is what we're approving. Everything else beyond that, we know that we have some issues we have to work on, and hopefully through conservative budgeting, we'll turn that around. So over the long term, this is general fund balance in dollar amounts only. Again, the blue is last year's 5-year budget proposal. We're significantly better over the long haul than last year's budget proposal. When you look at all the funds mashed together, that's our aggregate city budget. So this is surplus deficit. Last year's budget proposal is in blue, which is a little bit higher here on the back end, and this year's budget proposal is in red, which is a little bit lower on the back end here too. We had projects come in fiscal year
20 approved. You know, they get delayed from 1 year to the next. So that's part of the reason why our fiscal year 21 budget is a little bit more in the negative than last year's budget. We'll get into that too. So when you look at aggregate fund balance comparison, so blue again is last year's five-year budget proposal. We're better off with all the funds matched together in this year's budget proposal through fiscal year 23. And then fiscal year 24 about the same, and fiscal year 25 we're on our way back up, which is good. So big picture, fund balance is at 43%. We expect in fiscal year 21, which is what we're approving, which is above your fund balance policy at 30, which is good. So, and then we've got above 30 again in fiscal year 22, and then sliding to 28% in fiscal year 23. And again, that's something we have to address as the year goes on. All those numbers are offset by our TIF fund balances, so we've talked about that as part of our audit. Downtown TIF fund and the Countryside TIF fund are both in negative fund equity positions, which drags in your general fund. But if you just look at the general fund in the audit and in the budget, it's going to say 43%, when actually it's probably, you know, 36 or 37%. In your two big enterprise funds, water fund and sewer, we have long-term stability. We're doing a lot of projects. We have proposed no rate increases for fiscal year 21 in addition to those projects. And what happens in general in both of those funds is you're going to spend a lot of money on capital and debt service in the next couple of years, build it back up to the fourth and the fifth year of the budget, and then be sitting with a pretty good fund balance in fiscal year 26 and beyond, a lot of debt that's going to fall off. In the general fund, you've got revenue growth projections similar to last year. So although everything seems to be outperforming expectations in general, we have some significant unbudgeted revenue streams we'll talk about, so we're not planning for any of those. Then we've got some major new capital projects as a result of the city council goals, and a couple new staff members in the five-year budget proposal. So again, general fund balances are percentage estimates. So fiscal year 21, the budget we're proposing is a 43% fund balance, bringing us down to 36, and then we have to make some decisions here and beyond, and hope that our conservative budget holds true. So just to give you the big picture, this is fiscal year 06 to fiscal year 25, so a 20-year span. This is the recession. This was caused by bad debt, developer obligations not being met. We actually had a lot of decisions we had to make here relative to the rec center fund balance and a couple other things, municipal building impact fee fund balance we had to get rid of those. So these were a little bit worse off than shown here, but we fixed it, and we're currently sitting higher than we have in the past 15 years, which is good. So in the water fund, this is the visual graph of what we're proposing over a five-year proposal. And then it's got a couple years of history out here too. So again, we're spending money on capital projects before cratering in fiscal year 23, then building fund balance up in 24 and 25, and we have to make decisions about water source and a bunch of other large things. Sewer fund, the same thing, although it's more gradual. Spending money on capital all the way through fiscal year 21, and then building it back up on the back end of our budget. We'll get into that too. So again, all that puts together your aggregate city budget. And so this is, you know, how much money we had relatively cash on hand in fiscal year 19, 20, and then what we're proposing in 21. In the past years, when you've seen this graph, we've always communicated it started to get a little scary cash flow wise when we hit $3 million, although for those of us that were here in 2009, we had a couple hundred thousand dollars in the bank for several months in a row and did relatively fine. So $3 million is kind of our target. We're not getting anywhere close within this 5-year budget. So we're at $4.5 million, which is actually better than it's ever been in a 5-year budget picture. So just keep that in mind. So major initiatives, you talked about large new capital projects, Road to Better Roads budget. Greenbrier Road being added on to that. So we've already bid out Road to Better Roads, and we think that we can actually fund more roads. A new sidewalk program, so we're funding it like 25 times higher than we ever had. New pavement striping program, which is an infinity increase because we've never really had a pavement striping program, and now we've got $600,000 funded. Major water and sewer main projects throughout town, and as recommended by each fund. A whole bunch of playgrounds, park improvements, some of which are tied to annexation agreements that we've already approved. A lot of new vehicles, public works, parks, police squads, mowers, vehicle upgrades, the enterprise resource planning system, which is our ERP that touches pretty much everything we do from a business perspective, and a public works employee in fiscal year 21. So that's a long list. 22 is similar. Again, Road to Better Roads has increased because we're getting more gas taxes. We've still got the sidewalk program in there. We show Mill Road in fiscal year 22. corporation based on the negotiations with the Grand Reserve developer. Water and sewer main projects, Beecher Park playground install. So we're actually proposing to purchase it in fiscal year 21 and then install it in fiscal year 22. So that's good. Still two new police squads, a parked vehicle, pickup truck, and some other things we have to make a decision on. The back end of an ERP system, then a new police commander position. So that's also a lot of the new things that we're doing. In fiscal year 23 and beyond, usually don't stuff a whole bunch of projects in here other than what's in our capital improvement plan. Roads, sidewalks, all of our water and sewer projects, and then some new vehicles there. And then same for 24 and 25. So of note though, Route 47 North expansion, not only is the state funding it because of the capital bill, we're covering our local contribution, which is great. I think this is the first time we've ever had a state expansion project where we funded it 3 or 4 years in advance. You know, usually we wait for the agreement to show up and then we're thinking about how we're going to pay for it. So that's in there. And it does include some of the Bristol Bay street connections into Route 47. So there's still some decisions we have to make there, but that's fine. So, and again, all that in a 5-year budget span still leaves us at $4.5 million in fiscal year 23. That's assuming almost nothing happens on the revenue side. And that's, again, this graph is better than it has ever looked over a 5-year period in the past several years. So, items to note section. City Council goals. We held our goal setting session in fall. So we put in there an ERP system, $475,000 split between 2 years. The Public Works and Police Department space needs analysis, which we talked about, sidewalks, a whole bunch of vehicles between all the departments, contingency, we haven't had a contingency line item in a budget in several years, and playgrounds. All that adds up over a couple year period, more than $1.5 million in new spending, which is good. So on the flip side, we've got some things that we have to monitor and then make decisions on here in the next year. First, so the governor has proposed to cut LGDF, which is our state income tax, of about $2 million in the general fund per year. It's already cut by 5%, so he's proposing to take an additional 5% away. And kind of hold it until the referendum on the progressive income tax goes forward in November. So the proposal right now is that if the referendum is approved, then we get that money back plus an additional like 2.5%, so it's a swing of 7.5%, about 250 grand. Annually. We've budgeted in the more conservative option that it's going to fail. If it's approved and that money actually comes to fruition because the economy stays good and everything with the state continues to go well, you know, we could have a lot of money swing into the general fund, which would be positive. Unplanned revenues, things we have not touched. The online sales tax, we talked about that like 2 years ago. South Dakota versus Wayfair, it changed location-based online sales tax collections. So more online purchases are now applicable to like retailer collected sales taxes that are then distributed to the state, which then get to us. The significant change is that as of January 1st of 2021, most online purchases are going to be subject to our non-home rule sales tax. So there's a large percentage of sales currently that we are not collecting that are something that's going to show up in our budget. We have no idea how much that's going to be. It's going to be $50,000 or $500,000. It's tough to kind of tighten that number up. And in the past, we've kind of just said, well, we'll see when that number comes in and then make plans from there. So that is unbudgeted over a 5-year term, even though it's going to impact next year's budget proposal. So fiscal year 22. Cannabis dispensary. So we're getting about 20 grand from the state through their pass-through revenues from dispensaries and other sites. If we actually land a dispensary in town and everybody says okay with it, North Aurora is projecting that their budget is going to increase by $600,000 in new sales taxes from last year to this year. So that would be significant too if one actually hits. And then the state capital bill, they proposed to do a bond issuance, which they're then going to distribute to us over a number of years. That could be, you know, $70,000 to $150,000 a year, just depending on what they do and some of these other revenue packages that they're doing. But it depends on a lot of the dominoes falling into place at the state level. So we'll see where that comes. None of that is budget. So we're proposing a change in our Parks and Recreation fund balance. There's a long paragraph. In short, we've got 15% in Parks and Rec in their 79 operating fund. It's not doing anything. It provides cash flow for Parks and Recreation purposes. We can commingle those funds, put them into one bank account like we do every other fund in the city. They can make their payments. And because we're not even tracking it as general fund reserves, so we don't say we have 43% general fund plus whatever's in Parks and Rec account, use it for one-time things. There's no reason to have to sit there and, you know, not be used for something good. We need vehicles, we need public works trucks, we need squad cars, so that's the proposal there. Won't impact our accounting or invoice processing. You know, there's no practical impact in doing so. Road to Better Roads, we've increased the pavement budget big. So it's been anywhere from $500,000 to $750,000 in the past 2 years. We've got about 1.1 this year because of the station motor fuel tax. Something that's not good is countryside TIF. So the long-term viability of that fund is in question, which is different than last year. We thought that we'd solve that problem because the theater's property has received a reassessment for the current fiscal year and 4 years going forward. So that cuts into TIF revenues, so we're at risk for that. So we think that we've been conservative on the completion date for the remaining properties, and then there's one substantial lot that's still there that hasn't been developed that we think will get developed within the next 5 years. But we need those things to turn around so that in 2029, when that fund is closed, we're not stuck with a deficit. So that's something to think about and talk about over the next couple of years. In public works vehicle purchases, we're going to go over it year by year, but we've got new trucks and rehabs since we've already approved by city council or talked about the public works committee too. But then beyond that, we just plugged in $120,000 going forward. It's roughly equivalent to financing, I think it was a 10-year bond, about $1.5 million over the remaining years. So that would get us a couple new large trucks, an improvement in our leaf collection system, so a quick change. Dump truck with leaf collectors, that would be nice. And so we have some room to play with whether we want to do pay as we go, just buy a truck every couple of years, and do some financing options there. On the capital project side, we do have six big capital projects that we don't fund in this 6 year, in this 5 year budget. They're listed up there. Baseline Road is probably the biggest one that we have to decide here in the next 2 years what's going to go on with that. But we have significantly cut down on that list. A couple years ago, it was 10 or 20 deep with some large items on there. We funded the Route 47 North expansion, including those street extensions, water and sewer main projects all over town. And then we've got developer obligations for pasture capture issues that we've been talking about for the past 10 years that we've gotten funded through fund balance and a couple other decisions there. So, and then on your water fund, just a note, again, no water rate increase in fiscal year 21 is what we're proposing. Same for the infrastructure fees that are on the budget, on the bill. Water usage is actually down for the first time in a couple of years, so you'll see that when we hit the projected numbers. And so we figured, you know, after a couple of years of that occurring, if usage is down, we need to talk about adjusting rates. And so the proposal is to just have the discussion this summer so that we're talking about a rate increase, potentially of an inflationary nature, in fiscal year 22 or beyond, depending on how things go. So that's it for the items of note. Anything else that I didn't cover in there, we can take questions on or committees. On the small picture, I just wanted to go through the general fund. You did some of the highlights there too. So again, this is only going to be some of the budget memo. I'm not going to go over everything. But on your property taxes, we're assuming new construction going forward for the corporate levy. But we're assuming a larger than new construction only increase on police pension. That's just based on actuarial determined contributions. So that will actually cause issues in your corporate levy down the road. We'll have to reduce the corporate levy and then increase the police pension levy. So we're planning for that. We talked about the municipal sales tax and non-home sales tax and the change in the online. So again, the two dates there, there's going to be a moderate change in July 1st of 2020. So we'll get notice of that in September, October. And then the big change in online sales tax is going to come in January 1st of 2021. Which means our sales tax distributions that we get in mid-April of 2021 will give us the entire picture of how online sales tax is going to change. And so we'll have to talk about that during next year's budget proposal. And then the state income tax we talked about, we're assuming that the governor's cuts go through in our department going forward. On the other side of the state income tax coin is the local use tax, so it's tied into online sales taxes, so things that you're buying online that the retailers are collecting, you're supposed to be self-reporting. That has gone way up because there's been more online sales taxes being collected by retailers and then submitted to the state, which is good. But when everything goes to, the retailers have to collect it, your sales tax is going to go up and your use tax is going to go down by a proportionate amount. So we've budgeted for that long-term. And then this cannabis excise tax, it's in there, it's new, it's $20,000. We have to identify cannabis-related training and enforcement efforts on that element. investment earnings are up, we have more cash, so we're getting more in interest, which is good. And so that's the revenue side. On the departments, on the expenditure side, all the departments, the same assumptions that we've used in the past have continued forward. So we've got bargaining unit, COLA and merit increases on salary and for non-union people. Health insurance, we usually budget for an 8% increase. It's come back right now, probably a 5% decrease, which is great. We're going to talk about that in admin next month, or next week rather. But we have reset the number to capture those savings already, and then we're assuming 8% off of that. IMRF rates, we saw a large increase last year. They should go down, at least for the 2021 numbers. We'll know that in April. So that could be some savings there. They've got tuition reimbursement, training conferences, and commodity assumptions. We're trying to be conservative across the board there. Professional services, this is always the one we always talk about in admin committee or somebody has a question about. There's a long list of what each department is spending professional services on in the budget memo, which is just a snapshot of it. So on the admin and finance department side, we did assume that the elected official salary budget would go into effect in 2023, so that's approved tonight. We've got office supplies. We had a request for new tables and chairs because the arm rests are falling off the chairs that we bought several years ago. And then the tables are replacements, so we want to switch those out. Finance department, we do have the ERP in the budget and admin services. We'll talk about that. But then we've got implementation associated with training, and a lot of that is in the finance department. The police department, chief and the mayor have said the current officer count can be left as is. So last year in the five-year budget, we had that going up. And instead, they want a new commander position in fiscal year 22. And then throughout all the departments, police, public works, parks and rec, your vehicle and equipment chargeback is going way up because we're funding a lot more in capital costs, which is good. So community development, we've talked about inspections and permits being down at the EDC meetings. That's sort of resulted in our outsource costs going down too. And then the UVO project is still in there for fiscal year 21 payout. Streets department, this is where we've housed the cost of a new public works employee. There's been a little bit of a discussion internally as to whether we would like that person to be management level, to schedule stuff and communicate with the public, versus somebody who can run out and fix something that breaks. So whether it's in buildings or it's in the water, sewer, streets department. So that is a discussion we'll have internally if the budget is approved with it there. So we do have an August 1st hire date budgeted. And we did assume for the most expensive employee out of all those options, and we can always ratchet that back in that case. Got some new hydraulic brine pumps to improve salt and calcium chloride delivery. And then on the refuse side, we've got our garbage contract prices in there for the contract through fiscal year 22. And then we do have the senior subsidy amounts that we previously approved carrying forward for the five-year period. On the admin services department, we've got the ERP system in the fiscal year 21 and 22 budget. So altogether, it ends up being about $475,000. The internal discussion with staff is there are a lot of unknowns with the vendor, the modules, how we roll it out, how long it's going to take. So that may change. We just wanted to budget for the most aggressive effort there. And then the professional services side, we are proposing to shift the cost of the state lobbyist into the water fund, because we're trying to achieve some state-level funding for water projects. We have proposed a federal lobbyist in there to be shared with regional partners. Hopefully we can get a few on board there for both water and metro funding there too. So that cost is split between the admin services department and the water fund and is up for discussion. Contingency line item is in there at $80,000. And then we've got the transfers to the sewer, which we talked about the past two fiscal years being reduced for a couple years while we're funding some of these other decisions. And the parks and recreation transfer being reduced in fiscal year 21, as we talked about in the middle section too. So all that together leaves you with a balanced budget in fiscal year 21. So some of the other highlights in the other funds, we talked about the gas tax increase, 65%. So that is a lot of money that we didn't necessarily expect. And then so we've increased our road to better roads budget over the next 5 years to accommodate that. And the citywide capital fund, this is where you see the sidewalk program. This is where you see the state route expansion for Route 47 North. This is where you see Greenbrier funded in fiscal year 21, even though we didn't bid that out with our road to better roads package, which is funded under the MFT fund. So that's a discussion we'll have with the committee and then city council over the next month or so. On the vehicle and equipment fund, this is all of our police, park, parks, public works vehicles in here too. And again, the chargeback line items in each one of those departments are increasing in order to fund this. So with police vehicles, we've got 223,222 for the next 5 years. But I know we did some work today and the SUV prices actually came back lower than we expected. So we might be able to fund like 334,333, just depending on what model we're choosing. And,
we'll settle down there.
Yeah. The dollar amount we proposed could house that.
Oh, okay.
The city council. I'll hedge my life. And then public works, playgrounds, park improvements, all things that we've approved as part of either prior budgets or development agreements in there. And then parks vehicle purchases, we threw a number in there because we know that we need more than that, but we haven't buttoned down whether we want mowers or tractors or trucks for different parks and recreation vehicles in there. On the water fund, talked about water sales being below expectations for the first time in a few years, but then we're not proposing water rate increases or infrastructure fee increases. Then we just need to have a conversation at some point this year about what we're doing in fiscal year 22, so a year from now. And then both in the water and the sewer fund, we did fund a portion of the ERP. So we, I think it was 10 or 15% depending on the fund and how much use those funds will have with the ERP system. The state and federal lobbyist costs we talked about. We still have some long-term water source projects in there for land acquisition. Those can be turned into engineering or governance issues if we had it. And then pickup trucks in water, and then a whole bunch of capital projects that are all listed in the budget. And on the sewer fund again, ERP we talked about. We've got a hot water system for our vacuum truck, sewer crawler camera, which should save us some money over the next few years. We don't have to outsource that. And then new pickup trucks with the Creighton District 22. And that's it. So I don't know how long that was, I didn't keep track, but
23 minutes, Bart.
Wow, okay, 3 minutes over what I expected, my apologies. So again, our budget schedule is presentation tonight. Alderman Funkhauser did put the budget and its components on the admin committee agenda for next week. It'd be my recommendation with the Fox Hill SSAs and a couple other things to review those at Public Works Committee next week, if the chair and everybody else wants to do so. And then the city council public hearing 2 weeks from now before we have to discuss, debate, and approve it either at the April 14th or April 28th city council meeting. So the entire thing that I just talked about, budget memo, Excel spreadsheet, PDF of it with the nice page numbers, are all available on this city website right here and can be downloaded. You can email us during hours or after hours if you have questions or comments about that.
Thank you.
Any questions or comments now?
No clap.
Thank you for watching.
Turn it off.
Thank you, Bart. Comments, questions, discussions. Is that it?
That's awesome.
Okay.
Very good, Bart. Needed more animation.
Any more here? That's
good.
Okay, that's fine. No comments or questions here?
Good job, sir.
What? I didn't do anything. He did it all.
No.
I can
just call me. I mean, Bart.
I can't look at PowerPoint at all.
Job, Rob.
Okay, well, seeing no questions or comments on that, are there any additional items? Oh, this is
I have a question. It's a census year, but we're not talking about it.
I would say, are more seasoned with census participation than most of our regional communities. And so we didn't do any special outreach or anything, although we were going to plan a public outreach push for the last 2 weeks in March, which I guess are next week, because the online forms are going to be available on April 1st. So if you don't want a census worker to come to your door, you can fill it out online and avoid that personal interaction.
Thank you.
That's good. Good point. Thank you. Any other additional items? Any citizen comments? There is no need for executive session.
And there's a citizen comment.
Where? Oh, I'm so sorry. Please step forward and state your names for the record.
They were awed by his words and presentation.
Yeah, they sure were. Thank you for correcting me.
First, we have a few things here. Okay.
Okay, actually, on February
20th. For the record, please state your names.
My name is Johanna Byram and Lisa Walensovich.
Thank you both.
Okay, we're with the Yorkville Historic Preservation Society. On February 28th, the Illinois State Preservation Office of Advisory Council unanimously approved the old Kendall County Jail Sheriff's Residence and Jail for nomination to the National Register of Historic Places. The nomination will now go to Washington, D.C. for final approval in June.
Wow.
That's excellent. Thank you so much. That's awesome.
The second thing I'd like to add is in my process.
And you two did that on your own. We had nothing to do with that, correct?
Correct.
That is even more awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, they were all amazed that volunteers had done it because most people hire professionals to do it.
Why hire professionals when we have the two of you?
Somebody who can sit and read that newspaper from all the way from 1890 every issue.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, over and over. Okay. In my process, when I first started, I went looking for what's called the Sanborn maps, if anybody knows what they are. It's from the early 1800s through 1960. Sanborn Company worked for insurance companies, and they would rate towns for their insurance risks. And they would do these maps. They'd set up cartographers all around. Well, I've always known that the maps were never stored in your town in case there were fires. So Batavia and Ottawa had the Yorkville maps. So when I first went there, when I started this in 2018, I went to the Batavia Library. They didn't have it. They said they gave it to the National, the Library of Congress came around to get it. So I drove all the way to Ottawa, same thing there. So I called up the Library of Congress. At that time, they were collecting them throughout the U.S. because they were putting them all online. And so when I did that, they had just started Illinois. And they said, well, it's going to be a couple months away because we have to go through alphabetically by community. So I convinced them to maybe go alphabetically, but from not from A to Z, from Z to A. So I got Yorkville put at the top of the line. So I was able to get the map to start doing my work on it. Well, at that time, we only knew about a February 1886 map was the only one we thought we had. I got a call in January. Because when I talked to the guy and I convinced him, I told him what we were doing, they became friends of ours on Facebook, and they've been following us. Well, there are actually three more maps for Yorkville. There's February 1886, the first one, November of 1892, February of 1898, and September of 1905. So if you go to loc.gov, it's the Library of Congress, and you enter Sanborn Maps in the search field, then you go on the left side, you click Illinois, and then you go to more locations, and then you go to Kendall County, and you go to Yorkville. You can see the maps, and they're especially great if you have a touch screen so you can enlarge things. They're color-coded, and so they list the names of who owned the buildings at the time, what kind of business was in there, who the proprietors were, what kind of dangerous equipment they had, if they had sprinklers, if they had a water source nearby. They're very detailed and very color-coded, and actually you can go at the beginning, there's also a key that you can look at reference for all the little shapes and designations they have on everything. So it is a really good, interesting view to see pictures of what the town looked like during these periods of time. So they're now currently all available online.
Could you say Sanborn or Sanborn?
Sanborn, S-A-N-B-O-R-N.
S-A-N-B-O-R-N, thank you very much. That's very exciting. Thank you for the update, baby.
There was one other thing.
Oh.
I let Peter McKnight know that we were going to tell you tonight, and I also sent him a note and letting him know that you were talking about marijuana revenue, and I know in respect how you stand on this. After seeing the revenue streams that are coming in, he wanted me to mention that the jail would be a great place for that with tourism dollars, and also the irony of it would be awesome. So I'm saying that for Peter. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other citizen comments? I'm sure I don't miss any. Again, there's still no need for executive session. Sir, motion adjourned by Mr. Frieder.
Motion.
Second. By Koch. Sorry. All in favor?
Yes.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Weren't quite clear before.